Just
a brief introduction to get into
In the weeks to come, but I'd encourage you to come to Sunday school and listen to that. Also, they'll be on the sermon audio if you want to listen there, but I'd encourage you to pass out those cards. Encourage people to listen. We had a guy here last Sunday night from St. Albans that had run across our thing on sermon audio. Now, whether or not he'll ever come back again after he actually saw us, that's another question. But I would encourage you, get the word out. The Lord may use it, not just to promote our church, but for the glory of the Lord. That's what we're hoping for. All right, turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 14. I have given them my word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. He made a similar statement in John chapter 20. And verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. I want to preach this morning a message entitled, Sent by the Savior. Now John 17 records the sacred communion between Christ and His Heavenly Father. It is the high priestly prayer of Christ. This is the Lord's Prayer. And as such, these words should be regarded with a holy reverence and looked upon with sincere interest. Our Lord is praying to the Father to keep, to preserve, to sanctify His elect. The elect are those who the Father gave the Son in the covenant of grace before the world began. And in that covenant agreement, God the Son agreed to give eternal life to all that the Father had given Him. He says that in verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Verse 2 says, As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. The truths surrounding the salvation of God's people are glorious. They're wonderful. They ought to cause our hearts to fill with joy and gratitude. But I think it's significant that in this priestly prayer of Jesus Christ, He makes a profound statement concerning those whom the Father had given Him in eternity to save in time. You see, God's elect are not only to identify with Christ in salvation. The fruit of that holy and inseparable and eternal union will result in a life of devotion and service. You see, just as there is a doctrinal side to every truth that Jesus taught and preached about, there is a practical side as well. And Jesus makes that clear. He says that believers are sent by Him even as He was sent into the world by the Father. And I'm going to ask some questions and answer them. First of all, how was Christ sent by the Father? And if you can answer this question, you'll be able to also tell how believers are sent into the world. Christ was sent by the Father according to a divinely appointed plan. God doesn't do anything by accident. There are no surprises with God. He does all things decently and in order. And so it only makes sense that the life, the death of Jesus Christ is something that was precisely planned and decreed and appointed by God before the world began. In fact, the Bible says regarding the sacrificial death of Christ, that He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before anything ever existed, Jesus Christ was appointed as God's Lamb who would take away the sins of His people. In fact, the Bible says in Acts 2:23, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. I believe that the life, the death, the sufferings, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was ordained by God Almighty. That the Father ordained Him, sent Him to accomplish that specific work. And Jesus said that in John chapter 17, as Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Do you realize that because you are in union with Jesus Christ, that we've been saved according to God's divinely appointed decree and plan. Today, you're saved on purpose. You're saved according to the eternal purpose of a holy God. It's not an accident that you were brought to faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, He will save us and call us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Why did you believe? Why did you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Was it because you were more intelligent, better looking, more fortunate, you had more money? Do any of those things qualify? No. I'll tell you exactly the reason why you were brought to faith. Paul wrote about it in Acts 13 and verse 48 when he said this: "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." You were ordained. You were sovereignly appointed. You were selected by God Himself to believe the truth of the gospel. Christ was sent by the Father on purpose. You're saved on purpose. You see, Ephesians 1:11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." How was Christ sent by the Father? By divine decree and appointment. But then, how was Christ sent by the Father? He had to undergo a radical change in order to qualify as our Savior. You ever thought about that? He had to become a man. God had to be manifest in the flesh in order to take the sins of His people upon His body and suffer for them. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is one of the most miraculous truths in the Word of God. You see, He had to undergo a miraculous change in a miraculous birth. The Bible says that this was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In order for Christ to fulfill His purpose of redemption, of redeeming His people, He had to be born of the Spirit in a miraculous way. You ever given much thought to that? Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Christ came into this world in a miraculous way. Born of a virgin, conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. And I started thinking, God's elect, according to God's divine plan, we were sons and daughters by His adoptive decree before anything ever existed. But none of us are called to represent Jesus Christ until we undergo a miraculous change. Interestingly enough, it is by a new birth, a miraculous birth. We had to undergo this remarkable change. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. But in order to be sent by the Savior, we had to be born of God, born of the Spirit. Jesus said, "You must be born again." If you're going to see the kingdom of God, if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. If we're going to go out into this world and represent our Savior, the husbandman must first be partaker of the fruit. You have to know Jesus Christ. You have to be born of God. You have to be brought to faith. This morning, if you're saved, it's because God performed the new birth and gave you spiritual life and changed you in a dramatic, miraculous, remarkable way so that your mind, your heart, your will, they've all been changed by the power of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In fact, he describes it as going from darkness to light. From deadness to life. That's how miraculous this change is. Christ was sent by the Father to live a life that consisted of complete consecration and submission to the will of his Father. That involved even being obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. This is how the Father, how Christ was sent by the Father. His whole life was consecrated, devoted, sanctified, if you will, to do the Father's will. In fact, turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. I think this is such a powerful statement on why Christ came into this world, why He was given the body that He had. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Christ came to be a living, holy sacrifice. We are sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to live a life that's consecrated and devoted and sanctified unto Him. Paul told the Romans in chapter 12, I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do you see how intricately linked we are with the Father sending the Son, and the Son in turn sending us into the world? He came to be consecrated, to be set apart, to do the will of His Father. You and I are sent out into this world. We are to be consecrated, devoted, just as our Lord presented Himself a living sacrifice. We present ourselves a living sacrifice. The difference is we represent Him. He represented us. See, there's no way that you and I, through our lives, can save anybody. We point them to the Savior. Spurgeon said this, your aim must be to do the utmost possible for your Lord. The Christian who does much is still an idler if he could do more. We have never reached the point of diligence till we are doing all that lieth in us, and are even then wishing to do far more. Bought with His precious blood, the vows of the Lord are upon us, and we renounce our natural love of ease that we may please Him who has sent us. That's how Christ was sent. That's how we're sent. To be consecrated. In fact, the command is, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Our will is to be lost in the will of the One who sent us. Just as our Savior said, not my will but thine be done, when He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, as He was awaiting and pondering and thinking about the weight of all of God's elect and their sin being placed upon Him, He victoriously said, not my will but thine be done. Amen. Christ was sent by the Father into a hostile world with the most difficult job to do. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The very people that should have read the Scriptures and been prepared when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," they were the very ones that falsely accused Him and ultimately called for Him to be crucified. He came unto a hostile world that hated Him. Jesus knew every step that He took was on purpose. He knew, and this causes me to marvel, He knew that He was going to be hated. He knew that He would be mocked. He knew that He would be spat upon, tortured, crucified, nailed to a tree by the hands of men, of ungodly men. He knew everything He would suffer. And yet He never turned back from the holy purpose and task He had been given. If you're saved, you're sent into the world much the same way by our Savior. A world that is hostile, that hates God, hates His law, hates His church, hates His people. In fact, Jesus said this in John chapter 15 to His followers. In verse 17, "These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted Me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept My saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for My name's sake, because they knew not Him that sent Me." The world does not love those that are sent by the Savior. Now I want to answer the second question. Why was Christ sent by the Father? And if we can answer that question, it'll tell us why we've been sent by the Savior. This is something so humbling to me, because I believe Jesus Christ is the Creator. That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as one God, actively created this world, gave the law, sustains all things, is worshipped by the heavenly hosts. But Jesus Christ came into this world to minister to others. Matthew 20:28, He said that the Son of Man is not come to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give His life a ransom for others. Jesus Christ, His life was not spent in pleasing Himself. In fact, Romans 15:3 says that He pleased not Himself. He came to give His life for me. He spent His life in service to others. He went about doing good. Wherever He was, He had a profound impact for good. And for the glory of God. And as believers, if you identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been sent to serve, to help, to bless, to encourage, to share with others. It's not all about us and our comfort and what pleases us. It's about glorifying God by offering ourselves. to be a blessing to others. And I believe the greatest thing that you can do is share Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection to poor sinners who are lost and broken and corrupt and on their way to hell. Share truth with them. Look over at Philippians chapter 2. This is a formula for a healthy church. He said in Philippians 2 verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Christ was not sent just to be a minister or a servant. He was sent to be the light of the world. He said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He was sent to reveal the glory of the Father, to expose the darkness of sin. Believers are to be lights in a darkened world. "Let your light so shine before men that they may behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Ephesians 5 and verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." He's the light of the world. We're to walk in holiness. We are to reflect the light of Jesus Christ in us. Walk as children of light. That's how our Savior. That's why He was sent into this world. Why was Christ sent by the Father? He was sent to be the Word of God. As the Word of God, to reveal salvation unto fallen man. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 14. "The Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ is the Word that communicates to others, reveals to others that He is the way, the truth, and the life. "No man cometh to the Father but by Him." And as believers, we are sent into the world, interestingly enough, as living epistles. Written by the Spirit of God. Not with ink of pens, but written upon our hearts. So I ask you this morning, if you claim to be sent by the Savior, are you ministering to others? Are you being a beacon of light and hope and grace by saying that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? If you're sent by the Savior, are you communicating to them that He is the only, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved? You see, you and I are to be ambassadors to communicate to others the only way that they can be saved. And we do that through the preaching of the gospel. He commanded us, preach the gospel to every creature. That command was given over 2,000 years ago. The force of it has never lessened or abated. We're still to be doing that, because we're sent by the Savior. Christ was sent on a mission of mercy. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Christ came to open blinded eyes, to heal the brokenhearted sinner, to rescue the perishing. And as believers, we are likewise sent on a mission of mercy to a lost and dying world. Do you know what God told Paul the Apostle the day that he saved him? That he's going to send him on a mission of mercy. He said this in Acts 26, verse 18, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And then lastly, the manner in which Christ fulfilled His commission from the Father. If we're going to follow the example of Christ, if we are going to walk in His steps, if we are going to be committed as sent by Him, then we've got to fulfill our mission much the same way that He did His. Submissively. And voluntarily. Nobody had to coerce or badger the Lord Jesus into doing His Father's will. In fact, He said in John 4, verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." He laid down His life for the sheep willingly, voluntarily. And we're to serve the Lord with a submissive attitude. We ought to say, like Paul did the day that God saved him, "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do?" Where is our submission? To go where He wants us to go. We're sent by the Savior to do what He wants us to do, to say what we ought to say. How often are we self-willed and stubborn? Christ viewed His commission as a necessary work. When He was 12 years old, and His parents, His earthly parents, Mary was His mother, Joseph was His stepdad, I guess you could call him, He said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" In John 3, He said that the Son of Man must be lifted up. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, He said, "I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is yet day, the night cometh when no man can work." He told the disciples in John 10 and verse 16, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." He viewed His responsibility, His commission, as necessary and important. And I fear that too many professing Christians view service to Christ as an option to be done only when it's convenient for them. We're to serve the living Christ. Christ did His work faithfully. He persevered in spite of difficult circumstances. He never quit. He never threw up His hands and said, "You know what? I've had enough. These people are mocking, spitting, hating, falsely accusing. I'm going back to heaven. I've had enough." Our Lord never quit. But He finished the work that His Father gave Him to do. You're responsible as being sent by the Savior to finish the work He's given you to do. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Don't quit. Don't get so faint-hearted that you give up. There's too much at stake. We're representing the Savior, the One who loved us, who gave everything for us, who rose from the dead. We're more than conquerors through Him. Don't quit. Don't give up. Jesus was so burdened for sinners that He wept for them and then died for them. He wept over Jerusalem. Where are tears? He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing His sheaves with Him. The Savior came with a great burden upon His heart. All of His elect were written upon His, written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and on His heart He came to do that work and finish it. I've often read this passage, but I wonder, are we willing to do as Paul did? He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." In fact, you read Romans chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, and Romans chapter 10, and you'll find that Paul's burden was so great, he would have been willing to give his life to see his brethren saved. What are you and I willing to give? What are we willing to endure? See, I feel like modern-day Christianity, there's too much comfort being preached. Too much feel-good, raising self-esteem, and not enough submission and sacrifice and giving of ourselves. And finally, Christ did His work solely for the glory of God. You and I are sent by the Savior to finish the work that He gave us to do as His ambassadors. And it's not to raise a name for ourselves, to cause other people to glorify us. Our chief responsibility is to glorify our God. That's the chief duty of man. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Are you and I glorifying the Father? That's how, when Christ came, that's what He did. He said, "And as the Father has sent Me, so send I you." He sent you and I out to glorify Him with our lives. How is it with you today? Are you saved? And if you are, do other people, do they see your light? Do you communicate the Word? Are you a minister of grace? Are you an ambassador of Christ? Do you feel under His compulsion to go out into the world every day and say, I belong to the Lord. I belong to the King. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to honor Him, and I want you to know Him. Not one day of the life, the earthly life of Jesus Christ was wasted. Not one day. How many hours have you and I frittered away when we should be feeling this responsibility of being sent by the Savior? Let's all stand.
Page number 79.
Page number 79.